Welcome to the Ada Bible Church Beyond the Weekend podcast, where we debrief the sermon, focusing on extra points of connection and what there just wasn't time for in the message. We hope this podcast will encourage you to study God's Word and grow your relationship with Him. You'll appreciate the conversation most if you've already heard the weekend sermon, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of Beyond the Weekend podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 14 of the Beyond the Weekend podcast for our epic sermon series. I'm Stephen. I lead our spiritual formation team here. Thank you for joining us, Amelia, our regular co-host, director of our discipleship resources. It's hard to believe we are nearing Christmas.
I know. And the end of our epic journey is approaching. And I love the Old Testament. I think this has just solidified my love for the brilliance, the beauty of it, even though it's hard to read. But the more we soak in it and learn these stories and how they all point toward Jesus and the glimpses of the Messiah, which is where we're leading toward at the end of the series and with Christmas, I've just loved the journey. I love these stories. Love the Old Testament.
I know. Every time, and I feel like we're in it right now, it just seems like, oh, there are six or seven other people we could highlight and talk about their stories. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we had a conversation today. Mike Wilkerson, our director of marriage and family ministries, joined us for the conversation on Daniel. But even in our conversation about it, it was like we were tying back to Genesis. And I think we tied back to Abraham a little bit and to some of the other, I know we tied back to Jeremiah at least. I can't remember what other ones we referenced, but they all point to Jesus, but they're also related together too.
One big story. And when you think of how many different people God used to write it and how it really is one big seamless story, It's incredible. God's word is just amazing.
It's so good. And so we sat down with Mike, and a couple of things we talked about were some upcoming marriage opportunities. We have some fun stuff planned for January for that. We also talked about how Daniel may have become rooted in his relationship with Yahweh so he could stand up and do the things he did. We had some conversations about some application of Daniel's examples of faithfulness, and that was even pulling from our own lives. Mm-hmm. And then we finished our conversation just talking about the hope of restoration and how we can hope for that in our personal life, but also just looking around the world, that the world will be fixed someday. But before we do that, I have a question. Are you going for accuracy or brevity? Are you setting a new record, or are you trying to use all 10 of your words?
I think I got it in 9 words. This was really hard. I find it's getting harder as we go on. And so I'm like, there's no way to even encompass the whole sermon in 10 words. But the heart of it is God's at work in brokenness, resolve to be faithful.
I think that's a great job. And I feel like that sets our conversation up with Mike really well. So we'll be back with you guys after we listen to this conversation with Mike. Well, hey, Mike, welcome back to the podcast. I know we've had you on a few other times in some previous seasons. We are looking forward to our conversation with you today. So you and Christy have been married how long now? And I think you have 3 kids.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. 31 years.
Oh, let's go.
It's a long time.
Nice.
But it's a lot of good years. And yeah, we have 3 kids, and well, we have 1 grandchild and 1 on the way.
Yay!
And I feel like every time I see you, I see a picture of your grandchild.
Yeah, do you want me to, pull that out?
I don't know that we need to do that right now. But,
he's a cutie.
And I think as I've gotten to know you, one of the things I love about you is your passion for your family and your marriage. And I know that you're also trying to bring some of that to your work.
Yeah.
And so what's something passionate that you're passionate about with marriage ministry?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Actually, right now is a great time to ask that question, because we're anticipating in January launching a brand new ministry for marriages called Reengage. Registrations are open for that. You can get to that through adabible.info, but we're excited for Reengage to be brought to Ada Bible Church, because we're passionate about helping couples, married couples, place Jesus at the center of their marriage. And that resource is why we've brought it to Ada Bible Church. And so that starts in January 29. Registration's open now. And we also have an event on January 9th with Dave and Ann Wilson. Just going to be a fun night to gather at the Cascade campus. We're going to fill the place. Registrations are open for that right now, too. And there's there's a need for you to register now because it's filling up fast.
Filling up.
Yeah. It's going to be full. And it's going to be a fun night. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too. So just excited what God's doing and just some of the plans that we're making for married people at Ada Bible Church.
Okay. Well, hey, let's jump in and talk about a guy who wasn't married, Daniel. And I think as I was thinking about it, this is 2 weeks in a row. Jeremiah didn't get married, didn't have kids because of the message God was sending. Mm. So it was very intentional, something God stepped in and asked him to do. Mm-hmm. And then Daniel is single, maybe not by choice because of what we read from the text, but another example of a big, important person in the Bible. And this is a big book. I know as we were looking at our notes ahead of time, we were like, we cannot get all this content in, but there's just so much to talk about and more than you could pack into a sermon. In fact, we did do a sermon series on this.
Right. Daniel in exile, I think.
Honor and exile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can link to that in the show notes. So there are at least a few more sermons about Daniel if you're looking for those. But Mike, one of the things that stuck out to me in your notes was your insight about how Daniel was raised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So right off the bat, at the beginning of Daniel, we learn something right away. And that is that this was during the reign of King Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim. Mm-hmm. And so that took me back and I started reading in the Kings just to find out what was going on during that time. And then I kind of learned that that means that Daniel, as a teenager, was probably likely born during the reign of King Josiah.
Okay.
Which was, 15 years earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So as a child, he learned about the book of the law. Why is that significant? Well, if you look at the kings before Josiah, there was no worship of God going on. They were turning away from God and leading the people away. And in Josiah's time, it actually says that they discovered the book of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Daniel and his buddies that we learned about in Daniel were raised during a time when Israel was faithful and their leaders were faithful to God. And in my mind, that is likely why he was resolved in his heart to follow him and be mm-hmm. faithful to him, even in exile.
Mm-hmm. That's a great reminder for those of us that are raising the next generation and serving in the next generation of how else do they know if we don't tell them? And you think of what a different story this would have been if there hadn't been leaders in Daniel's youth, probably when he was a kid, who found the law, who found God's word, read it, taught it, elevated it, that can impact a generation.
Yeah. Well, think about back when Moses was preparing the people to go into the land. What was his great fear? It wasn't the enemies in the land. Mm-hmm. It wasn't things that they were going to encounter. It was that they would forget God. Mm-hmm. He wanted them to remember God, remember his word, and pass it down to their children and their children's children so that it would go well with them for generations to come, Deuteronomy 6.
There's just so much richness there because it's not like the law disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was still in the temple. They just left it there.
It's kind of like ironic.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Bible that is on the shelf that you never take off.
Yeah.
And I think even when it gets read, Josiah, almost like he's never heard of it, the content of it,
right.
And the way he responds. And
it says he rent his clothes when he discovered, why are we not following this? Like, which is crazy.
I also think of a couple of things have been happening, this fall, and you were a major part of this with Vicky and the rest of our Kidsmen team, a curriculum change to try to really make getting into God's word a part of all of our kids' ministry.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you bring that up because that, we want our children to be influenced by God's word, that we want them to know who he is and what he expects of us and the beauty of having peace with God. And we do that through teaching them the truth that's in there.
I think a story Vicky passed along to me from one of our Kentwood Discovery Village small group leaders is about she leads a small group there. And she noticed that of the girls, they kept coming back. And every time they had like a birthday or some money, they would come back with a Bible.
Yeah.
And they went and they asked their parents because we were getting into the word and our children's ministry time. and they were getting Bibles off the shelf from that we have available for every student, but they were they wanted to bring their own Bible. Mm-hmm. And just how encouraging that is, that there's a hunger in the youth, and we're seeing it all the way up to young adults. There's a hunger for God's word and just how important it is that we respond to it in the same way that Josiah did, where we go to it for instruction and let it be a part of our life.
Yeah. I would point out this too. I think it's kind of cool. It specifically says about Josiah, that he turned his whole heart and his whole might to God, which is what the vision was for the people of God in the Shema, you know, that they would give their whole heart over to him. And when they do that, it has a real impact on the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened with Daniel.
So you see in Daniel the impact of a generation of people, even though with Jehoiakim and then Jehoiakim, it's very short-lived as the international kind of politics of the day between the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Egyptians are all playing out around them. They're turning to those people for kind of strength instead of to God.
Right.
But you have a remnant of people like Daniel.
Continues to work,
Yeah. And it seems like their identity has really been formed so much by this that even in exile, it's an important part of who they are.
Yeah. Well, they needed it because Nebuchadnezzar's whole, his whole purpose in bringing them there was to make them Babylonian.
Yeah.
Was intending to change their identity so that he would benefit from their learning, from their wisdom, from their skill sets. Mm-hmm. And they refused. Well, they didn't refuse to help him. But they refused to let go of their identity in Christ, not in Christ, but in God in that time, and to serve him and him alone.
Yeah, their first identity was as God's people, and they never lost that, even in the midst of a culture and a world that was trying to shape them intentionally away from God and his word. And that's just a powerful reminder to me, as I've got young adults and in my own life, that we're constantly being shaped by something.
Right.
We're always being formed into something. And I think we've said it on this podcast before, that question of, are you being shaped by the world or are you being shaped by the word?
Mm-hmm.
And that has just been so powerful in my own life to recognize all the subtle ways I've been shaped by the world. We're all seeped in a culture. We're all seeped in the world we live in and how I just every day I need to start in the word, because if I don't, I know all those voices, all those influences are going to shape me away from God, away from his word. And I think for our kids, modeling that for our teens and our kids and the youth in our life of like, who are we being shaped by? Is it the word or is it the world?
Yeah, the phrase I think that Jeff pulled out of that text was the language and literature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about raising kids and, you take them to church. And now my kids are going to Lifeline and we'd read Bible stories and things like that. But if you take that out of the totality of their whole week, they're spending a lot more time in the world.
Yeah.
So in the language and the literature of America and American culture than they are in the word. And we're trying to, as parents, set a good example, but we have to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeped in our own culture and we have to be fighting against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that Jeff pulled out was, okay, so because of that, we need to decide in advance.
Yeah. Right.
And for me, that's been in the past 5 years, a decision that I've made to prioritize God's word and start the day there and let my kids see that. Mm-hmm. And now 5 years later, they're not in the home anymore. You know, so we just, these opportunities to model. And one of the things in deciding in advance is it was a decision to obey God's law, to obey the word that they had discovered, in their youth. And one thing that stood out to me was in John 14, Jesus says, "If you love me, you keep my commands. I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Mm. And there's this connection about loving Jesus and obeying his word that's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't just like I'm going to decide in advance and gut it out and like my own willpower and my own strength to power through, resisting the world. It's a surrender to Jesus out of love for him. And the more time I've spent in the word, the more I fall in love with the word.
Right. Yeah.
It's not I admit, like when I started this habit, it was check it off the list. It was do good, do the right thing. And it's turned into just a pure delight to spend time with him and his word because I love him. It grows my love for him, which then grows our obedience. It's this beautiful cycle of falling in love with him.
Psalm 1. And on his law, he meditates day and night because he loves it. So I was thinking about this on my way in actually today. We work really hard to provide daily readings and thoughts for people. Mm-hmm. Amelia, you do that. You lead us in that. There was a point somewhere in my life, and I'm not sure where I would identify this happened, where I still benefit and value from other people's thoughts on scriptures, but I transitioned to where I have my own thoughts and my own time with God, and I allow him to interact with my experiences and my thoughts, my prayers on their own, you know, individually. Do you see what I'm saying here? There's a transition that occurs, but you have to keep in it. You have to keep at it. You described it as I began to love it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens, that the Spirit works in us to help us to fall in love with these truths and see the benefits of them so that we pursue it on our own.
Well, I think the beauty of that is you sit in a sermon on a weekend and one of our great teachers, whether it's Aaron or Jeff or Brad or a guest teacher, they are applying it to our lives in general.
Yep.
But when you sit with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you give the Holy Spirit permission to convict you.
Opportunity.
You open God's word. That is a very unique conversation between you and God. And those are those intimate moments where God, where he can speak directly into your life. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen in sermons. We have just great communicators who work really hard. I can tell you, lots of people think, boy, they're really just preaching to me because of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit too. But that time alone with God is, there's just something intimate there that's hard to describe.
Yeah. And it really does help you in the moment. Like for me anyway, really, I experience the thoughts of God when I'm getting ready to have a choice to make. Am I going to do that thing? Am I going to say that thing? Am I going to watch that? I have the thoughts of God in my head, like, no, you shouldn't do that. And now I have a choice to make, right? And if I've decided in advance and I know what God has to say about it, I'm better equipped to be able to make that right decision. I wish I could say that I did all the time, but I don't. But I feel like it's definitely something that we use as a tool and a weapon from God, his word.
Well, and it turns your heart too. And you mentioned that decide in advance. When you decide in advance, even if it's just I'm going to do what God asked me to do in the moment, it turns our heart and it develops our character. And so then when we're faced with a tough decision that we might not even see coming, we've decided in advance to respond to that the way we think God would want us to.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is very personal. And I'm going to try not to cry.
It's okay if you do.
But I saw this in my dad's life growing up. So my dad is, you know, he's not going to win any awards for gifting, you know, in the church or anything like that. But once he got saved, he started reading the scriptures, spending time in the word and applying it to his life. And one of the things that he believed and knew about God was that God loved truth. And he wanted us to have integrity, wanted his people to be integrity, because our reputation is not just about our reputation, it's about him, because we're image bearers of God. And so he at one point went into business with another man, and who was a friend of his. And before too long, I think within a year, he found out that this gentleman who was his partner was cheating people who were their clients, and also kind of cooking the books. And so my dad ended up losing that job. And for months afterwards, we struggled financially, but none of that really matters to me. You know, I a lot going on during that time, but what I remember, and I think what impacted me was my dad was honest.
Yeah.
He had integrity. Mm-hmm. And that was the most important thing to him.
And it cost him.
And it did cost him.
You know, following God's way sometimes costs us because we're in a world that is against God and his way. Yet there's an eternal reward.
Yeah.
And a blessing and a benefit that you're talking about decades later.
Yeah. It impacted.
It's even greater.
Made a difference mm-hmm. in my life. I think my family's life.
Mm-hmm. And it was just simply your dad saying, this is what I know to be true about God. And so it needs to be true about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And then living that out, even when it costs him, it's mm-hmm. it's probably part of the reason you're the person you are right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Our parents have that kind of influence in our lives. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. We make our own choices. You know, mm-hmm. we have to always be reminded of that. Children make choices. But parents do their part, you know?
Yeah. And as I think about that, you know, as we parent, how do we, I think one of the challenges for me, how do you parent when you have these kingdoms in conflict? And that's a little about what you see in the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. You have these kingdoms in conflict. I think the word kingdom appears over 50 times in Daniel.
Yeah. I think one of our Beyond the Weekend team members said that Daniel might be the Old Testament book that mentions kingdom the most. Mm.
Oh.
It's a huge concept in that book. And you see all these prophecies and visions, the parts of Daniel that are hard to understand. But I think the main key in all of those visions and prophecies that you see in Daniel is that there is a kingdom, mm-hmm. an eternal kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And mm-hmm. that will be the kingdom that reigns forever. I think it might be in Daniel 7 or 9, where there's this giant rock that comes and destroys the statue of bronze and iron and rock. And it's that rock that then fills the whole world. Sure. And we can debate like which kingdoms are those. But the point is that rock is Christ
mm-hmm.
and his kingdom that will fill the whole world. And that's the era that we're in of watching his kingdom come and grow through us.
Which this, I mean, just as an aside, you mentioned the statue. This. Grab yourself a study Bible mm-hmm. this week if you're listening and read through those passages and see, because what Daniel is seeing is he's seeing kind of the fall of Persia to Alexander the Great, and then the splitting of Alexander's kingdom, and then the growth of the Roman Empire. And he's, you know, God has given him this gifting of these visions, and it's prophetic literature, but it's easily traceable about what's going on to what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty unique that way. But this whole kingdom idea, Daniel talks about it, and then Jesus picks right up on
it. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that kingdom, you know, that rock, that boulder that you're talking about in Daniel, that's me. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom of God is here. And it's just incredible to see the continuity. I hope that's what people are picking up as we go through this sermon series. The continuity of this epic story that God is telling that lead to Jesus' proclamation that the kingdom of God has come mm-hmm. in Mark 1. And you see hints of this inside of Daniel, as you mentioned, how the ultimate authority is that Ancient of Days, and that's who mm-hmm. Jesus is going to be. In Daniel 4 and 5, you have this picture of a king who becomes too prideful and falls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's the Nebuchadnezzar story. Again, another fun thing to go, because that story is crazy.
Mm-hmm. The Bible Project has a great video that's an overview of the book of Daniel that we can probably link to in this. And I was watching that last week, and it talks about how the more we follow God's word and follow his way, you know, the promises, God's kingdom, his kingdom coming and full restoration, and the more we align with him, the more we become in God's image. But as we mm-hmm. rebel mm-hmm. against God and reject him, the more beast-like we become. Mm-hmm. There's this thread through there, and you see that with these kings who completely reject God, turn away from him, and become Nebuchadnezzar lives like a beast. Yeah. And that's the impact of sin and rejecting God. We become more like beasts than like the image of God and the humanity we're designed to be.
But we've talked before about how I think it's the Greek word for sin is hamartia, and that just means missing the mark. Well, mm-hmm. if your mark is becoming more like Christ and you're following that through obedience and love, then you're going to get closer to the mark. And if you're sin and rebelling, you are going to miss the mark. And there are only two options. There's only becoming more like Christ and becoming less like Christ
mm-hmm.
or becoming more like, and that's becoming more like the beast, the deceiver in the garden, which is where we started this sermon series
mm-hmm.
with this idea of God's trying to carve out a people to bless the whole world through. And do we want to step into that in obedience or not? And a lot of that just comes down to our character and our reputation and things like that.
Yeah. So when you think about the kingdom, what does it have to do with me?
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that question is the kingdom is how we live each day. Meaning who's our king?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the one who's leading our life to direct us on the choices we make? You know, the deciding advanced things that we make. For Daniel, it was this opportunity as a leader in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, to be able to demonstrate what he was all about. I mean, think about it. What was Daniel known for?
His faith, yeah.
Well, being upright, yeah. No corruption, trustworthy.
They couldn't find anything against him.
I'm curious, you know, he goes there as a teenager, and I think he dies peacefully from old age.
Yeah.
How many people survived being in the upper levels of the Babylonian and the Persian government?
Right.
Like, it could not have been that many.
Yeah.
To make it that long in that world, they were all, it was cutthroat, you know, was life and death stakes, and he makes it through because of his reputation and his integrity.
Yeah.
Yep. And God's so clear protection over him too. They were trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to kill him and throw him in the lion's den. And God was at work in that broken space.
Yeah. Stephen, you mentioned somewhere in these notes about how much the story is really about God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we want to go there yet, but when you look at Daniel's life, clearly, this is about God. You don't survive a lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't survive a fiery furnace. Now, that was the other boys.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't survive that without God.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and actually, when you read through Daniel, God keeps coming up over and over and over again. If you want to know some theology about God, read Daniel.
Yeah, read Daniel. Start highlighting, you know, in our Unstoppable God series this fall, we've been working through highlighting the actions of God and what God says or what God does. And I think that would be a great exercise for Daniel.
Oh my goodness.
Every time God is mentioned, I was thinking about one of those passages in it, how God, I think it was God caused compassion on Daniel and his friends when they were asking about the food.
Yeah, the favor of God. Yeah.
The favor of God. And I was just thinking about that in my own life and just different people who have been really significant in my life, and how there's no great reason to explain why they took the time for me that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of my mentors in grad school, a guy who used to teach at Cornerstone, Philip Bostrom, and just there was no reason he should have been investing in me other than God stirred something in his heart. And I even think about just when I ended up at Ada Bible, the first person I interviewed in with, it seemed like God just did something in their heart, and there's no reason I should be really at Ada Bible other than that person, the work of God in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see that throughout my life of how God has gone before me and stirred up people's hearts on my behalf. And it's just fun to see it in the text as well.
This concept of like kingdoms in conflict, and on Saturday night, Jeff mentioned something that I think got cut for Sunday, and it's that we're all part of these subcultures, the culture at work, the culture in our family, the culture in our neighborhood, and sometimes they'll be in conflict with God's kingdom and paying attention to where we can say yes and where we can say no. And so you see Daniel and his friends like, yes, you can change my name, yes, you can do this, but no, here I'm going to obey God. That's indirect, direct disobedience to his law. And so for us to be aware of even the small things that might seem insignificant, but they shape our hearts away from God. And so in today's Beyond the Weekend devotional that, you know, came out Wednesday morning, it'll be that question of like identifying what are those other kingdoms you're part of and where are they in conflict, and just noticing that tension and praying through that situation. The Lord's Prayer is a great thing to pray, like, your kingdom come, your will be done, like in this situation. And I often don't know what that means. Yeah. Like, I'll encounter something, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And sometimes there aren't clear black and white answers in God's word of whether you do this or don't do that. But Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in and through me, in and through this situation. I believe his spirit will shape you toward principles and Christ-like character in those things where you don't know what to do.
Well, and I was even, if you're watching on video, you probably saw me furiously searching on my iPad because I was pulling up my sermon notes and I was thinking about that. Once you figure out what you need to do, which is not always easy, and that's where the prayer comes in. But then Jeff said, kind of gave those three things. When you decide what you need to do in response to that, you have to be gracious, respectful, and polite.
Yeah.
Daniel was gracious, respectful, and polite. And I think that often is where maybe if you want to look at Christianity and our culture and our world right now, sometimes we'll choose, okay, we see a kingdom in conflict. We realize we can't step into that when God's calling us to something different. But we lose the gracious, respectful, and politeness aspect of it that Daniel just shows here, and how both those things are important, identifying and then also stepping into it, graciousness and politeness and respect.
The other thought that is related to that Jeff brought up is this whole idea of what do you do though when you're in that broken space, and you started to touch on that and you're not sure what to do. And I wrote down three thoughts, quick thoughts that is required. This has been from my own experience. Patience, wait on the Lord. Faithfulness, continue to pursue him. And trust. Mm-hmm. Those three things are required in that time of brokenness. My experience with brokenness is when you're there, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And particularly to be patient. Mm-hmm. Because like, in my experience, I get to a place where it's like, God, where are you? Mm-hmm. Like, did you leave me? Takes me to Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
God's not there. He's still at work. And if we can have patience, remain faithful, and trust, he's going to make something, as Jeff put it, he's going to make something new through that. He's going to work through that and put those pieces back together. It was such a beautiful picture that he gave us.
The gold and the cracks, and we don't always see it right away. And I think one of the things that Jeff said to us and the Beyond the Weekend team meeting is, you know, we might see God restore in bits and pieces, and we long for the full restoration.
Ooh, that's
when
rich.
He returns.
Yeah, that's so good.
We might get a glimpse of it today. And I think that's what Jesus offers us in his ministry, glimpses of the full restoration when he casts out demons, when he restores sight to the blind, he makes the lame walk, when he heals, when he teaches. We see a glimpse of his kingdom that will come in full one day. And I just finished reading Revelation over the weekend, and just that Revelation 21 and 22, you get that vision of the new heaven and the new earth, and heaven crashing into earth when he restores and makes all things new. No more death, crying, or pain. And we long for that. We pray for that. And that's what Daniel's praying for, is the restoration of his people, of God's reputation, of his temple, of his land. And we are still in exile. We are still people in exile waiting for God's full restoration.
And I think, you know, Daniel's praying for the restoration of his people.
Yeah.
And our culture is so individualistic that it's easy for me to pray for my restoration, to pray for the thing that's going on in my life. And I think we see in Daniel, he's praying for the restoration of the world.
Yep, bigger picture.
And that's something that is kind of convicting to me is, you know, Jesus says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that should be my prayer, that kind of restoration where God's will and his kingdom has come, his will is done on earth as in heaven, not just in my own life in this situation that's really bothering me right now, but that the whole world will, you know, for that moment that we see in Revelation where it is a complete restoration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some things I've been grieved over in my community and things that are happening. And there was a day where there had been an event in my town, and the next day was walking the sidewalk, just out for a walk. And I was just so grieved. I didn't know what to do, and just walked up and down the sidewalk, just praying for that, like praying the Lord's Prayer, like out loud, like over my town and over the space where these events had happened. And just, that's the only thing you know how to do. And I think when that's the only thing you know how to do is to,
what you do,
that's what you do. And we join a long chain of ancient saints like Daniel who are praying for that restoration and for God's kingdom to come.
Yep. Yeah. And you, Amelia, I think you and I were talking about this on the way in. You sit sometimes in the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you be present with it. trusting that what Daniel says about God is right, that he is a God who does what is right, and a God who is just, and a God who is good. And when we cling to him, even if it's by a thread, that he's going to be faithful to us and remain in us. My personal experience is recently, my wife went through a really significant physical challenge. Intense hospital visits, emergency visits, wondering where God is kind of experiences. And we struggled. But on this side of it, I can say we continue to struggle. There's still lots of questions, but God did some new things in me and in my heart to try to see some bigger pictures. And I can tell you one of those things was to be a little bit more empathetic and compassionate toward people who suffer, particularly people who suffer by themselves. I couldn't imagine how anybody could get through what my wife got through by themselves. And, that softened, that softened my heart to watch for those people and to have a heart for how can we be a ministry to those people, you know, who are walking through these pains by themselves. And it's why we do what we do as a church and have the care ministries that we have.
Well, and, you know, you think about that as a family situation for you. It's your wife, but Jesus redefines what family is. And that is the beauty of the gospel community is that, it doesn't mean that he got rid of our families as we think of them as far as blood, things like that. But he also says, you know, you're all brothers and sisters now, take care of each other.
Yeah.
If you read through the New Testament, it's just full of one and others. And that's not instructions to the clergy. You know, it's not like, okay, build a system that does this. And it's not bad when we do that. But it's instructions to each other to care for each other. That's the beauty of our small groups. You know, the stories we hear of small groups caring for each other. And that's the beauty of serving teams who reach out to individuals. And it's just, we can see the genius and brilliance of God and the way he constructed his new community to care for each other.
I get a glimpse of that on the prayer team. And when it's a weekend, I'm not serving and watching the prayer teams interact with people who come forward in their brokenness and their pain and in their joy too of praising God for things. But one of those ministries where even if we haven't met before, we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, and the privilege and honor of carrying that in prayer with you to the Lord in our auditorium spaces. It's just one of the most beautiful things, I think, that we have happened to see people praying together, praying for each other, with each other.
And God really really cares about that.
Yeah.
And so we need to really, really care about that.
I agree. I agree.
This is value.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. This has been a really fun conversation. I'm curious, before we wrap up, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Big question. I would, you know, the thing that really struck me about Daniel in particular was just how much the story is about God. And how much the whole story of the Bible and our lives is about God, and how much he loves us, wants a relationship with us, and wants to walk with us through this life and is preparing a place for us for eternity. And we get the privilege of uniting with him through our faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that would be my final thought.
Well, hey, that's a really great final thought. So thanks for being here with us, and really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that was a great conversation with Mike.
So I love having Mike on. That was a lot of fun.
And I am really grateful for the leadership he provides to our marriage and family ministries. We talked about some of the things about how we've did a curriculum change in Discovery Village and our kids ministry. And he's really led Vicky and that team well through that. And Luke has led under the direction of Mike, restructuring of our student ministry. And so Mike is just a key player in what we're doing here.
And big things ahead with marriage ministry. I'm really excited for January. And I've talked to some of the couples who have been part of the pilot and been trained on the curriculum, and just life-changing things.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing what God does with that. It's a commitment. And that's one of those things, decide in advance. You have to decide when you sign up that You're going to do it. It's 14 weeks, I think.
Yeah. And I might even be 15 weeks. And that's the thing, though. Like, a marriage doesn't change overnight. It's not a one-time event. It's not a one-time conference that you go to that changes a marriage or shapes a relationship. And it's the practices that you put in place over and over and over. And so these 15 weeks are built, whether your marriage is struggling or is healthy, to put in place practices for communication and study of the word that will carry you through, you know, the rest of your marriage.
I kind of wish it worked in a conference, though.
Right?
That'd be easier.
I feel like nothing is like a one and done.
No. Yeah, we need more things in life that are a one and done. But
I haven't found it yet.
You know, we'll keep looking, though. We had an interesting conversation with one of our producers, Nate, as we were debriefing our conversation with Mike. And he asked us, okay, so what are some of the kingdoms that we're in conflict with? And as I've been thinking through things, you know, like, I think of the things that we could, in my own life, I'm a big Michigan fan. Mm-hmm. So being a Michigan fan tells me where I need to be on Saturday afternoons in the fall, the types of clothing I need to wear, what I need to think about certain people from Ohio. And
that they're great.
And, you know, other things like that. And then, you know, I think I mentioned how Hudson has gotten me back into bow hunting. So that's and hunting. So that's kind of one of the kingdoms I'm a part of. That tells me what I should be doing with my free time. It tells me a little bit about how I should think about some certain political things in some ways. It tells me about probably a little bit about what a perception of manhood. Mm-hmm. And so you have all these competing things, and then I'm on a church staff. So that's a competing kingdom about what should I be doing with my time? What are my priorities? And I don't know that I often sit down and say, what are these different kingdoms telling me?
Yeah.
And then you want to take it even broader, the types of TVs I watch there. I mean, the type of TVs I watched, one TV.
One TV.
The type of TV shows that I watch. I think those are all pushing us in a certain direction with a kingdom. And the question is, are we aware of it, of the types of things to value and the way it wants us to live our lives? And just really being honest about that is going to help us see where the kingdoms are in conflict, decide where to say yes, where to say no. Like you were talking about in our conversation with Mike. Sure with names, sure with learning, no with food.
Yeah. I try to think through what are my different kingdoms, and I feel like my life has narrowed. I don't have kids in school anymore. You know, it used to be like the kingdom of the school and all those activities, and would we let that, you know, determine our days and our time? Yeah. As I get older, I feel like I have fewer and fewer things, and I'm in school. So I guess that would be that. I have the kingdom of, you know, seminary. And
well, grades,
and
too.
Grades, yep. So am I going to... Will that rule my day? Will that just become, you know, the kingdom of achieving and getting good grades? Mm-hmm. Or is it really about learning and studying and growing spiritually? I think a big one for me that I have wrestled with over, you know, 10, 15 years is the kingdom of being a writer, an author, and a speaker. Mm-hmm. So even before I came on staff at Ada Bible, I did a fair amount of writing, and I had the joy of speaking to women's groups at various churches. And that was a good thing, a ministry thing, but there was a lot of pressure in some circles. It's how big is your platform? How often are you posting on social media? How many followers do you have? What kind of reach do you have? And that was a kingdom I really wrestled with because it felt so self-promoting. And yet if people don't know who you are and what you're about, you know, you won't get invited to write for different things or speak. And so that's one that I still wrestle with, you know, what's my presence on social media? What is God calling me to? And I think even today on the way into work, I was just praying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. What do you have for me? And as I'm thinking ahead to 2026, still, I've just like shut down a number of social media things over the years. And how do you want me to handle this? And so even in ministry, where you, especially when you are like in front of people, there's that kingdom of, you know, am I building myself? Or am I truly building God's word and his kingdom? And so I think that's a big one for me.
And I think what we see in Daniel is prayerful consideration that's happening and a wrestling with it. Mm-hmm. And I think where you get in trouble is when you aren't wrestling with it. Because then you're probably just in all these kingdoms and you're not even recognizing the influence they have on you. Mm-hmm. And there have been even times in my life where I've had to step back and be like, oh, wow, that has way more influence in my life that I want it to have.
Yeah. I just finished taking a 5-week evangelism course on sharing your faith through the Gospel Coalition. And the teacher, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago in his book, Dr. Strange, and it's Making Faith Magnetic. Mm-hmm. He said, the key is to get people to stop and think. We just don't stop and think, you know, and he was talking about when we're sharing our faith. But I think for us, too, as believers, just stop and think. Like, where are you being influenced? What are you being shaped by? We go, 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 go nonstop. And we don't ever really stop and think, what am I valuing? What am I treasuring? Whose kingdom am I building?
Yeah. And you, I think, you know, I'm a little bit of a nerdy researcher. And so I'm often thinking in other people's phrases, like, oh, this person says this about that, or this person says this, whether it's the Bible or a leadership principle. And really that's me entering into what they're, the kingdom they're trying to build. Mm-hmm. And stopping and thinking, okay, does that match up with what God says, where we're trying to, where I feel like God is calling me to lead me? But it's all these, we all have these voices, whether we're nerdy researchers or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or what we're watching on TV, whether what we're listening to on a podcast, what books we're reading. Mm-hmm. These are all kingdoms talking to us over and over again. And that stopping and thinking about what are the messages are really important.
I know this is a time of year many people will try to slow down and reflect between Christmas and New Year's, and there's New Year's resolutions, you know, and that word of, you know, Daniel resolved, and in his resolve, it was to follow God, to obey his word. And I think this is a great time to carve out, you know, some hours, some time, even using your commute to and from work to really stop and think, where am I? Where am I headed in 2026? And not just to make New Year's resolutions, but really to resolve, okay, I'm going to follow God in this part of my life. I'm going to determine to obey. I'm going to put new practices in place, not for just simple goals or resolutions, but I think the best thing you can do is stop and think about where you are spiritually and how you want next year to look different.
I think I really like that challenge. And one of the ways that I'm trying to step into that is on my commute to work, I usually just turn everything off, try to give myself the space to think and the space to talk to God about processing things. And it's honestly, sometimes it's hard because you want to fill that silence with something. And I often will have to like draw my mind back to God over and over again. And sometimes I'll even find myself reaching for the like that power button and be like, what am I doing? I'm intentionally trying to be in quiet with God.
We don't like silence. We have things to fill every second of the day. We can even sleep with noise on, which I'm not saying is wrong, but like, we just don't like silence. And so I think learning to practice silence, to practice solitude for our age is probably one of the hardest things.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question for us to consider about what kingdoms are we a part of. And as we reflect and kind of wrap up our podcast, the question that I have for you from the card, from the Daniel card, there are two questions you get to pick. But the first one is, how does knowing God transcends all earthly powers encourage you in difficult times? The second one is, what situation in your life needs to be surrendered to God's sovereign control?
I think one of the kingdoms I've recognized that I can step into that I need to not is the news cycle, which I'm not a huge news follower, but I find that anytime I step into news and start reading things or watching things, I get sucked into a different kingdom. And then I can easily forget that God is sovereign and his kingdom is the one that's coming and is in control. And I can get caught up in politics or other things that just feel really discouraging. And so that's one of the things I've done is tried to remember that God transcends all earthly powers, all kingdoms. And one of the ways I seek to remember that is to step out of the news and trust that when I need to know something, someone will tell me.
That's really good. And I think it's probably something that if people are looking for something to cut out of their life in this season to give themselves time to think about, I think you would probably find yourself more in tune with God's kingdom if you spend more time talking to God and less time listening to the news cycle and right now. Well, I want to kind of close us with this verse from Daniel 2. And it really does point us forward and reminds us that God is in control. And it says, in the time of those kings, The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. And I know we're praying and waiting for God to set up that kingdom that will last forever. We're waiting for the return of our King Jesus, and we get to celebrate his first arrival here in a couple of weeks, but we're still longing for full restoration. Mm-hmm. So I just invite you to join us next week, episode 15 with Pastor Jeff Mann as we near the end of this series. As always, you can find everything we talked about in the show notes for different links. And I'll just say thanks for joining us. We pray you see God's restoring hand at work in the brokenness and encouraged to stay faithful to him.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the A to Bible Church Beyond the Weekend podcast. We pray this conversation was helpful and encourages you throughout the week as you seek God's help to grow in his word. You can find all resources mentioned in this episode in the show notes, including a link to this week's sermon and the current sermon series. We hope you'll join us next time for the Beyond the Weekend podcast.